I'm just going to get started here, my friends.
All right, everybody, we want to welcome you back here to Simple Faith Baptist Church, where the Bible changes us. We do not change the Bible. Brother Carlos here, we want to thank you guys for coming on out this afternoon back to church, friend. And it sure is a blessing to see some of our members back. Amen. We've been praying for them. And you know, guys, whenever you don't see somebody at church, that's a reason to pray. Amen. Some folks are going through some health things. Some folks are just going through some carnal things. But we want to be praying for our brothers and sisters. That's where the Lord desires our heart to be at. Amen. And so it's good to see some of y'all back at church. So before I get started, some of you guys were not here last Friday. I just want to go ahead and show you guys now that you're physically here. If you guys can just do me a favor, look up to the screen. I just want to share this with you guys. This is a good friend of mine named Brother Corey Mears. He pastors Apple Valley Baptist Church in Washington. And this brother is out currently on a mission trip in a state in Africa called Zambia. And so, guys, behind them are 15,000 Bibles. They're going to go, if you will, distribute with their mission trip with the team that they got. And guys, what I like about Brother Corey Mears, not only is he a fellow Bible believer, but guys, he walks the walk. So he literally practices what he preaches. So as much as he does his best to soul win in his local city, guys, he's literally going around the world in evangelism and ministry and mission. So right now, here's the team. They're in Africa. This is Brother Antonio. We're going to go meet with his father next Saturday in Corona from Grace Baptist Church. He's a good dude. So guys, there's a great team of both young and, if you will, middle-aged and older brothers and sisters in Christ serving Jesus right now. If you will, overseas in that church, if you will, that ministry is a ministry that I support personally with my finances, guys. And so I want to be all about missions. I want to be about giving because, guys, once you believe the Bible as it is, you are convinced that eternity is where it's at, and all of my labor, all of my works should be geared and focused towards reaping for the eternal to come. And that's what Jesus said. He told us to labor for that which endures. Amen. We can labor all day long for the 401k, for the retirement, nothing wrong, but it's not going to endure. So you want to be laboring for works that you're going to reap, my friend. So doing stuff like that is what's going to help you. Second quick announcements. Look up to the screen here, friend. This is Brother Lordson Rock. He's all the way in India. I just wanted to share with you guys to stir your hearts for evangelism. Last Friday, I was sharing with you guys there's brothers back here that look like Brother Giovanni and Brother Manny. Amen. Mexicano uncle right there with the mustache. But guys, look at here. You got the youngsters right there. You got Brother Lordson's kids, little brother right there. That's his kid, his wife as well in the background with their baby boy that's just growing up. And they are training them up for ministry, for soul winning, for evangelism. So guys, you can see there are young women, there are older women, and they're all doing it together. Let me share with you guys how this pastor is leading his flock by example. Passing out tracts. That's it. Just giving a flyer, talking to somebody about Jesus. That's Brother Lordson's wife with their little son, training them to pass out tracts right there in India. And brother right here, I don't know what his name is, passing out tracts. The sisters passing out tracts. Amen. You got Brother Giovanni right there. Amen. I'm just playing. Passing out tracts with, you know, the youngsters. Look at the young ladies right there. Look at that older sister. She's talking and she's reaching out to people for Jesus Christ. There you go. There's Brother Manny right there. Amen. And talking to folks, leading about Jesus Christ. Older women right there serving the Lord, passing out tracts, if you will. Again, the youngsters, there's the Eileen, there's the Kinas, there's the Maribels, there's young women right there serving Jesus. Amen. Look at that, passing out tracts. Look at that. The sisters are passing out tracts of the Indians right there in the central area, putting them in their bags. How about that? That's kind of cool. Ministering, if you will, and everywhere they're going. And so I just want to show you these photos to encourage you guys that you can do it. And you have an opportunity. Boom, right there, guys. Little Gibby doesn't have an excuse. Look at little man right there, 5 years old, 6 years old, amen. And all of them are doing it for Jesus. None of us have an excuse. If little man can do it, all of us can do it. All of us can do it. How about that? And of course, this one of his assistant pastors out there with other youngsters, they're going to the bus stops. Look at that young teenager boy, young adolescent passing out tracts. Older women passing out tracts. Again, guys, they're passing out tracts, and I think you get the point. So I share these photos with you, and I promote their ministries because I'm hoping to stir your spirit that you too have the physical ability to simply just hand somebody a piece of paper. You can do it. It doesn't take much time. It doesn't take much effort. All it takes is your heart to love Jesus enough and to love the lost enough to say, Pastor, I got your back. I'm going to be there with you Saturdays. Let's go reach the lost together. And that's it. Just a couple hours. And you're serving God. You're laboring for things which are going to endure forever. Amen. So my friend, yesterday, obviously we didn't take much pictures, but I just want to I want to thank God and for Sister Eileen. She so graciously joined us yesterday. We had a great time soul winning. We went door to door, finishing up the street there, Bluff, even though it was a little misty. But Friday, for those of you who were here, I promised whoever would come, I'd buy you umbrellas. You see those umbrellas right over there? You guys had umbrellas ready just in case if it was raining. But guys, it wasn't too bad. I'm going to get a refund. Amen. No, I'm just playing. You guys can still have them right there. But they're there. And so we went door to door, couple of rejections, couple of conversations. And but we did it. We did it. And let's keep in prayer that house. I told you guys, we signed the church card. We went to the lady's house. She wasn't there. We went back just to double check if, you know, by chance when we're done with the street, if she was there. She wasn't. But there was like a homeless dude over there using the porta potty. And we're like, oh, we left the card in front of the door. They were like, hey, Brother Carlos, put it in the mailbox. And I'm like, I don't know about the mailbox. So we're just trying to, we're correlating. Wait, how did it disappear? And we don't know. We don't know. So today, my wife and they're just going to go visit and just to see, follow up just in case if she was there, just to see if she got it or not. And we're just trying to follow up in love because, again, guys, as a church, we're just trying to be a little light to our neighbors, just trying to reach out in love and say, hey, are you doing okay? We just want to let you know if you got it. So keep her in prayer. And but again, we had a great time. We finished up another street there off Oceanside Boulevard. And now we know what we're going to pick up off next Saturday for the soul winning. Amen. So I just want to let you guys know our calendar quickly here on the screen. Next Thursday is going to be soul winning. So remember how we postponed it from Thursdays ago. And so on the 16th, we're going to go on the Sunset Market Outreach. And so even though we don't have it on the calendar, because we had canceled it previously, we're going to go this on the 16th, amen. So we're going to be out there on the Sunset Market. So if you're not working on Thursday, come join us just for an hour and a half to go pass out tracts, just like they did there in India. And then on the 18th, likewise, we're only going to do the first half of evangelism because my wife and I, we have a meeting with a brother up there in Corona. And then we're going to be good for the remaining of the month for soul winning. Our normal calendar will resume. And then, guys, the last 2 days of the month, if you guys can, we're going to cancel that Friday night because I'm going to be moving. So if you guys can help Brother Carlos out, I already promised you guys dinner. Amen. So 30th, 31st, move out of my house, fellowship, church, friendship. That'll be good. Please let me know if you guys can help. That should be a blessing. Amen. All right. Prayers. I hope you guys have been using those prayer cards. We got more prayer cards. Amen. So just take a stack with you. Take them with you back to your city. Pass them out. It's as easy as smiling at somebody at the cash register and saying, hey, I just want to let you know our church loves praying for people. Boom. There it is right there. Amen. So give them those prayer tracks and then just let's just keep each other in prayer as a church family. There are a lot of needs to be in prayer for. Amen. And then last but not least, my friend, if you're a member of this church, hope you are, just remain faithful in your financial support. Whatever you purpose on your heart to give as unto the Lord for the church needs, please do so. You can do so in the box back there. And that's right, y'all. We're getting with it. Venmo. Boom. Look at that QR code, guys. We got the PayPal. Amen. Y'all want to use your credit card? Use that credit card. But don't get in debt for Jesus. Amen. He doesn't want you to do that. So y'all can give any way, any time between you and the Lord. Again, just be faithful, be obedient, and then let the Lord show you how he can use that for his glory and helping people. Amen. All right, my friends. Do me a favor. Let's get back into in our Bible train, verse by verse, back to Galatians chapter 4. This is going to be a part two where we left off from last Sunday. Today, we're going to focus more about verse number 18, about being zealous for good works, being involved, being zealous, being excited, being ready for serving, being zealous to keep ourselves busy and active on the ministry, if you will, active in doing things for the Lord. And so we're going to go ahead and focus on that now. Amen. Galatians chapter 4. Let's go ahead and continue now, my friends, where we left off from last Sunday. If you get your Bibles open, sure to appreciate that. Hope you're following along in your physical Bible. That's the only way you're going to train yourself and discipline on your Bible reading. Amen. So quick reminder, he's writing to Christians. These are born-again, saved saints. They're in Gaul. And he is reminding them of the truth of the gospel that they were saved when they trusted by faith in Jesus Christ, not works of the law for the Hebrew, not good feelings or good works for the Gentile. And he told them that in chapter 1. He told them that Jesus Christ delivered them from this present evil world in chapter 1. But there were spiritual perverts troubling their Christianity and their practices, false Christians and Judaizers who were trying to go back into their lives to try to pull them back to works, religion, and also for Gentiles, trying to pull them back into the world, you know, cultural things and celebration things. And so essentially, that's what we're discussing here in the book of Galatians. Chapter 2 tells us, it reminds us that, again, the Christian, both Jew and Gentile, are saved by the grace of God, by the faith of Christ. You can read that in Galatians 2. Galatians 3, again, just reproving them, rebuking them for why they allowed people to come back into their lives to bewitch them and to steal their hearts away from Jesus, from serving him, from being zealous towards him in their faith and growing in their Christian conduct. Chapter 4, we're going to get into some more doctrinal things. Next Sunday, I hope to finally get to the end of the chapter in discussing the only allegory in your Bible concerning the law, concerning the promise, Hagar, and if you will, Sarah, and how one represents the Christian, one represents that law through the Orthodox Jew persecuting the Christian. We'll get to that hopefully next Sunday. But I want to focus now on this part 2, verse number, let's go ahead and pick up here, Galatians 4, verse number 11. Bible says here, I'm afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. Brethren, I beseech you, be as I am, for I am as ye are. Ye have not injured me at all. Ye know how through infirmity of the flesh I preached the gospel unto you at the first. And my temptation which was in my flesh ye despised not, nor rejected me, but received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. Where is then the blessedness you spake of? For I bear you record that if it had been possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and have given them to me. Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? They, we're going to talk about these they today, they zealously affect you, but not well. Yea, they would exclude you that ye might affect them. But it is good to be zealously affected always in a good thing, and not only when I am present with you. My little children, whom I travail and birth again until Christ be formed in you. I desire to be present with you now and to change my voice, for I stand in doubt of you. Let's pray. Father, I thank you once again for the word of God. Pray that you'd fill me with your spirit now, God. I pray that you'd remove me out of your way. I just want to be a vessel through whom your spirit can minister to the saints, God. But where I have a human error in my presentation because of my human notes, I pray that your Holy Spirit would continue to take the holy living Bible and talk to them, God, as individuals. Talk to them, God, as your sons and daughters. Let them know, God, how you want them to respond to the message today, God. Speak to them individually on things that they need to improve on in their walk with Jesus. And then also corporately as a church family, how you could remind us all of our purpose and duty. And however you want to have your way here this afternoon, God, I pray that we would be yielding our hearts to you now. And so, God, thank you so much for those that are here in attendance. Would you please bless now the hearing and the reading of your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Very sad when you hear the heart of the apostle towards these believers, how he stands in doubt of them, how he is saddened by their regurgitation, if you will, that is that they've diverted back to some old habits and some old things, that is some things that they at one time seemed to have been strong in, and yet they regurgitated back to before they got saved. And even though they have the power of Christ available to them, and even though they have the power of grace in them, they chose not to use that, if you will. That is, it's almost as if it was inactive in their lives, even though it was activated at conversion. And yet you see here, friend, that Paul's heart is saddened because they are not receiving their teacher. They're despising their teacher. They have an enmity, if you will, between them and Paul as their pastor. And yet these Christians were becoming very agitated. And they had an attitude because Brother Paul would keep reminding them on how to live for Jesus Christ. And sometimes modern-day Christianity, we can be like that towards our pastor or towards a leader, trying to get us to serve Jesus, trying to motivate us to serve Jesus, trying to get us stirred to do it because there are some other theys that come into our lives, some other influences that we choose and we allow to come back into our lives to exclude us, that is to take us out from this service towards God from the way our pastor was teaching us. So now, for these people that are doing that to them, look at what he reminds them quickly, and then we'll get to the notes. Look at what he says in verse number 13. When he preached unto them, He said, I preach unto you through the infirmity of my flesh. Guys, Paul had some physical problems. The man has been hurt by now many, many times over. The man's been beaten. Remember that? He was literally stoned, persecuted, and yet that didn't hinder him from being faithful to the call of being an evangelist or being an apostle. He knew they had a duty from Jesus Christ to continue to serve him, even though he might have just been by himself, or there was many who at once supported him but didn't because of all the persecution. That didn't stop him from being obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ. He kept going even through the weakness and even through the frailty of his flesh. And yet when he went there and these people responded and they got saved, notice what he said in verse 14. They received him. They loved him. They appreciated him at the first so much that they were willing to give their own eyes for Paul, which seems to indicate that he had some eye trouble. And yet if they could, that's what Paul said, man, you guys would have given me your eyes because of how you received me. I mean, guys, you guys treated me like I was Jesus himself. So guys, notice what happened to the believers. What happened to their heart that at the first they had so much happiness over here, but then a couple years go by and now their hearts become hardened against Paul. The same man that taught them about Jesus, basic Bible doctrines, how to love and serve God, the same man over here that they were willing to receive into their home, you know, feed, invite for dinner, maybe give him money to support him, now they're over here ignoring him, arguing against him. How did they go from that? Well, we're going to talk to you a little bit about that today. He says in verse 15, where is then the blessedness you speak of? They used to talk good about Paul. They used to enjoy his presence. They used to be excited every time he came because that's the man that taught them the scriptures and learning and instruction, you know, first love, first emotional, all that. He says, I bear your record. I'm reminding you guys, remember how you treated me? You guys would have given me your own eyes. He says in verse 16, am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? So what does that mean? If they're treating him as an enemy over the years, he didn't start as an enemy. You know, sometimes you might have a friendship that starts good, but over time, it will become sour because of how you choose to respond to the commands of Christ. Today, my friend, you have an option on forbearing friendships with other Christians, depending upon how you're going to obey to the commands of Christ. If you choose to walk out in the flesh by becoming bitter, unforgiving, etc., Galatians 5, we'll get there. No wonder why Christians, or if you will, you become a little bit distant and a little bit spacious, if you will, and you don't really take heed anymore to that guy or to that girl because of the truth, because they're trying to compel you to keep living for the truth. They're trying to stir you to keep living for the truth, and that's what happened to these believers, and that's what we need to be careful of today. So now let's talk about more verse number 17 and 18. They zealously affect you. So some other people were having an influence in their life, and because of that influence, it was hindering their pastor's teaching to them. And because of that, there's a contradiction. There's a contrary message between with what Paul is telling these Galatians and then what they are trying to tell these believers. He says that they zealously affect you. Whoever those people are, they are doing everything in their power to get a hold of their attention, their mind, to try to pull them away from church. Notice what Paul said, but not well. Yea, they would exclude you. They would try to get believers to not go to church. They would try to get believers to not serve Jesus Christ, their newfound faith, and then to return back to religion or whatever that might mean for them at that time. They might affect you. They might affect them. Look at verse 18. It is good to be zealously affected always in a good thing, not only when I'm present with you. So he's saying it's good for you to be active and obedient, but not just when I'm in the house, not just when you come to church, not just when I'm with you. The hope is that you'll be zealously serving Jesus when I'm not there, when no one's watching, that you will be obedient, if you will, concerning the things in the faith of Christ. And then, of course, verse 19, we left you off last Sunday. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again, until Christ be formed in you, I desire to be present with you now and to change my voice, for I stand in doubt of you. So they didn't need to be saved again. They're born again, chapter 1. They're brethren, chapter 1. But they've drifted from Christ. They've backslid on the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's almost as if Jesus needs to present to them the basics So that way their lives can be rededicated to him again, faithfully. And that's when I left you with last Sunday, that sometimes you're going to hear about Christians rededicating their lives to Christ because obviously they've been backslidden for a couple of years, and now they're responding to conviction. They get on their knees and say, God, I'm sorry. I'm no longer going to do A. I'm going to come back now and do what you've commanded me to do. And that's okay. But sometimes, notice, how does it happen? It's because they've drifted from him. They were removed from him. That's what Galatians 3 taught you. And when a pastor or a teacher comes along your way again and then sees some things in your life that clearly are far from the profession that you may have had 5 years ago or 4 years ago, it's almost as if a pastor or a teacher needs to teach you the basics again, like coming to church faithfully, like reading your Bible just once a day, like at least one chapter a day, you know, doing the basics. And so that's what we're going to be talking about today. So we see here, friend, Paul's desire. We see there that he preached through his infirmity. He was hurt, but remember, he stayed the course. He didn't give up just because he was going through some physical adversities or physical things going on. They used to speak highly of Paul, but they stopped. They became distant to their teacher. Read that earlier. He became their enemy because he taught them how to live as Christians, not Jews or lost Gentiles. At some point, they gladly responded to Christ to forgive them of their sins, but not to take away their sins. They first received with gladness the word of God, you know, the kingdom of God doctrine, teaching them not to continue doing certain things and living a certain way, but they responded to those bewitchers, those people who came back in their lives who were stealing away their hearts from the commands of Christ. Paul said, they, whoever they are, they zealously affect you. Paul knows them well, way too well, concerning the false brethren. An application for us today, who are the they in our lives that seek to bewitch us from obeying the truth? Or maybe we can ask it like this, what is the they? Or what is the what in your life that is stealing your attention and your zeal from obeying the commands of Christ today, my friend? Whatever that might mean with for you today in application, or whoever, if it's an individual, it's having a negative impact on you versus a positive. Because if you find yourself not serving him, then something or someone hence is hindering you. And that's what we're talking about. So go back with me now to chapter number 1. Galatians 1. Look with me in your Bible to Galatians chapter 1. He says here in verse number 6, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him. That's the problem. It's when someone or something removes your heart from Jesus Christ. I wish you guys were here for Sunday school, but when you get a chance, I encourage you to watch it on YouTube or Facebook. Because we talked about the sin of covetousness. We talked about how the heart can be removed from God because we seek other things or other people to satisfy us as a replacement for God. Today, friend, here's what they were entertaining. False teachers, false brethren, and then because they chose to listen to those individuals versus Paul, their pastor, if you will, they were removed from Jesus. They became distant from Jesus. They backslid, which is not another, he says. But there be some, now notice, that trouble you. So in chapter 4, whoever the they are that are zealously trying to get a hold of these Christians from serving Jesus, they're doing it with zeal, he said. They're doing everything in their power to distract you from doing what Christ commanded you to do. They're doing everything in their power to separate you from him. Are you here with me? They're trying to pervert what Christ desires to do through the gospel because they're trying to steal away your attention. And then, of course, he says, if any one of us or any other angel preaches to you any other gospel, it's a false gospel, he says. But look at verse number 10. Do I now persuade men or God? Do I seek to please men? If I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. You know what they were doing? They were trying to please men. They were trying to justify what they were doing to have a negative effect on these Christians. And they were saying, look at what we're seeing here in these lives, and that's how they measure themselves with themselves because of them pleasing one another. Chapter 4 about these false brethren. Let's go to chapter number 2. We're just kind of giving ourselves a little bit of remembrance of these type of people at this time of day. Look with me now in Galatians chapter 2. The Bible says here in verse number 4, and that because of what, friend? False brethren, unawares brought in, who came in privately to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. So we know in context, Paul is talking about Jews, Judaizers, those who were still of the Jews' religion, who came into Christian circles where there were Jewish converts to get them to return back to the law of Moses. We understand that historically. But in application today, my friend, what can I encourage you with to look out for? Look out for false brethren. Number one, look out for carnal brethren. Number two, look out for people that are going to try to come back into your life to bring you back into bondage from him. In other words, you're living a pure life. You're living a modest life. Watch out for people who are going to want to take your attention from going to church faithfully because, you know, they got something else on a Sunday. They got a party going on. They got a birthday going on. They got some dinner plans going on. Hey, just, you don't got to go to church, man, all the time. You know how that, no. What they're trying to do is take you from him. You need to watch out for those people. Anything or anyone who will try to influence you from him to bring you back under something else that's not pleasing to Jesus Christ or stealing you away from obeying his commandments, y'all got to watch out for, is what I'm trying to tell you today. So those Jews who sought to get the Jewish believers from following Christ, get them to forsake church and get them out of the assembly, that was their desire, that they might have some effect upon their life. They think that unbelieving Gentiles, strange that we don't do the things that they do anymore. We're going to talk about that now. Do me a favor, turn your Bible now to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. Paul wants Christians to be zealous, but on good things, not for evil things, or not for false things, if you will. And he warns us about the type of people we need to be discerning and mindful of that might come into our life that will steal away our attention and our dedication to our Lord Jesus Christ and his commands. Look with me now, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 13. Who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good? But and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. Be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. So let's say you have some unbelieving family members and friends, and they begin to make fun of you because of your dedication to Jesus. They begin to make fun of you because of your modesty for Jesus. You know, the way you dress, always dressing all nice and perhaps religiously, if you will. You don't do a certain thing anymore. You don't do a certain way anymore. And you don't do certain things you used to do. They don't understand. So wherever these accusations come from, the unbeliever, whether it's a Jew in the first century with orthodoxy and all that stuff, or a Gentile, they're going to look at something. They can't see your heart. They don't understand justification by grace through faith. They don't see your position before God because of your faith in Christ. The only thing they have to see is your conduct, your works. Verse 17, for it is better, if the will of God be so, that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. So you know what's unique, friend? You have two options. You're going to have troubles in this earth. I'm going to get there in the notes. You're going to have problems in this life. I'm going to get there in the notes. So why don't you suffer at least for obeying Christ versus disobeying? Why don't you spend more time doing that versus the things that, if you will, have no connection or correlation with your faith in Christ? But when they do accuse you, or whenever there are those opposers in your life that are going to say, why don't you do this anymore? Why don't you do that anymore? Let them look at you for doing good than doing evil. Amen? Turn with me now to chapter number 4 at 1 Peter, and let's keep on going. Look with me now in verse number 1. The Bible says, for as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin. So you woke up this morning. Some of y'all got dressed up. Some of y'all got your modesty. You're going to a Bible-believing church. You know you came here for Jesus. You want to live right. You want to try your best to be constantly underneath some good doctrinal teaching to keep your life accountable. All that is good. But before you considered the clothing you put on today, brother and sister, before the hairdo and before all the outward, did you arm yourself with the mindset? Did you arm yourself with the spiritual mentality? Did you arm yourself with this understanding that your Savior and your Lord expects of you? You better be ready to go through things for me. You better be ready to suffer for me, son and daughter. Because in this life, you're going to have troubles. But when you're living for me and things get tough and you're rubbed the wrong way and someone offends you, you better be ready to follow my example, to be obedient to my commands like I was to my Father's command. You better arm yourself with that mentality. So next time, Christian, before you go to church, you look in the mirror, brush your teeth, arm yourself with that mindset. Look with me now, verse number 2. That he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. I hope that can be your record today. I hope when you woke up today, you said, man, God, I want to do your will, not mine. Verse number 3. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked, past tense, in lasciviousness, lusts, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries. We talked about that in Sunday school. Wherein they, look at now, they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riots, speaking evil of you, who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead. You know what the Bible just said there? Man, those unbelievers, your old famimers, your friends, or currently famimers and friends, they're not saved like you are. So what are they still doing? They're still partying. They're still serving their lusts. They're still drinking it up. They're still smoking. They're still dressing the way they do, watching the things they do, listening to the things they do. And you used to do that. You used to work at it. You used to put money and effort into it. You know, the parties and all that. They think it's strange, though, that you don't do it anymore. Isn't that funny? So whoever that might be for the Galatians, remember that they zealously affect you. They want to get you out of church. And whatever the they might be here in 1 Peter chapter 4, an application to you today, my friend, is watch out for the they. Be mindful that you're obviously going to be surrounded by either believers or unbelievers. The unbeliever is going to do their best to get you from serving God. They're going to murmur. They're going to complain. They're going to give you their critiques about what you're doing too much for this and you're spending too much money on that, and you're living too much for Jesus Christ. They think unbelieving, those unbelieving Gentiles, they think it's strange that we don't party with them anymore. We don't curse anymore. We don't do the things that we used to prior to our salvation. And we know that there must be a balance, obviously, as we're trying to reach them, but yet still living for Jesus Christ. So application today, who do we choose or who do we allow to affect us from following and obeying the truth? Let's go back now to our base text, Galatians chapter 4. My wife and I had an opportunity last night to fellowship with my family in Tijuana. And you guys know how much that means to me. You guys know my private situation, family members no longer talking to me, close people to my family no longer literally talking to me. It's real sad. And you know how much you all mean to my wife and I as our church family because we're spiritually yoked. We're going to spend eternity with each other. And you guys know how much I hurt even when somebody might be a Christian and yet they're family and then there's not equally, you know, there's not fellowship. And so therefore, you guys know how much we appreciate you that much the more because you love us and you care for us. So we go down there. We fellowship with them. That 1 Peter 4, you know, they're just unbelievers. They're out there doing what they do in Mexico, drinking, you know, partying, doing their thing. But we went down there with grace and with love and we're spending time with them. Now, in that culture, here's what happens. When there's a party, the men are outside. What do you think they're doing? Drinking it up. That's what we call pisteando. And the women are in the inside serving with the children. But while we were back and forth, who was with Katie the whole time? Me. I'm loving her. I'm spending time with her. And my sisters could see that. They could see how I was loving my wife. They could see how I was showing her affection, as what they say, cariños. And you could kind of almost see like a sadness. Because my sister, the house that we were in, guys, she would open the door. Her husband's out there drinking with the dudes. She would curse at him. Oh, you're good for nothing. Just to take a picture with the boy. And here I am, sitting with my wife, loving her and loving my family. In other words, they think it's strange. How does Carlos have so much love for his wife? Because, guys, it is almost a part of their social culture for the women and the men to be separate. You know, the men drinks over here, the women cook and serve over here, and it's a part of their custom to not have love and emotion and joy and affection. But really, guys, it's an absence of who? God in their heart. It's an absence of love. So, do I leave? No, I stay. I'm an example. Do I love them? Yeah, I minister to them. I share the truth with them. But I just want to tell you that even though we are in the midst of them, we're still faithful to who? To Him. So you too, my friend, you can be faithful, even in the midst of unbelievers. Now, let's come back here to verse 18 in Galatians 4. It is good to be zealously affected, always in a good thing, and not only when I'm present with you. I have a question for you, friend. Who do you allow to enter into your life to have some measure of effect upon your life? Some of those influences might be for your spiritual benefit, and you and I both know some are for the carnal. You know that it's our choice to who we allow into our lives to have an effect upon us. Paul was desiring for these Galatians to be obedient to Jesus Christ at all times, not just when he was present. Likewise, today, you should be zealous to be followers and faithful to Jesus, not just when you come to church, but Monday through Sunday. Paul could only teach them. It was up to the members there at this church or the churches where this letter would be carried over to the assemblies to be faithful in response and obedience in response. Choice. Who do we choose to voluntarily listen to throughout the week outside of our local church? Do you listen to Christian teaching, preaching? Do you listen to maybe Brother Carlos's teaching from long ago? Do you study your Bible? Do you read your Bible every day? What is affecting you every day throughout the week is what I'm trying to point out. Because it will have an effect upon you. Whatever you allow to affect you will affect you inwardly and outwardly. Anybody out there? Now look at verse number 19. My little children. So he still loves them, man. Still loves them. And of course, guys, you know we love our church members who we don't see here all the time and who might be carnal right now. We love them. But when they come back after like a long time, no wonder why we got to go through the basics again. Look at what he says. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be what? Formed in you. So they're saved. Remember that. They're born again. I told you that. But they just need Jesus Christ formed in them again. They need to relearn the heart of Christ. They need to relearn the mind of Christ. They need to relearn the basics of obedience. Step one, just come to church every Sunday. Don't skip out. Step two, try to read your Bible every day. Husband, you better read that Bible to your wife. You better read that Bible with your children every night. Three, start working on, you know what I mean? So you can start working on some things because you've become so distant. Your mind has forgotten how you ought to be walking and talking and living because you regurgitated back to a child. You understand? So some of these might have been teenagers by then. They might have been older, if you will, in the faith, but they've separated themselves from Him. And hence, that's why He calls them little kids, because they need to let Christ reteach them again of some certain things. And that's what happens to Christians who backslide. Born-again Christians who regurgitate or degenerate back to infancy, spiritually speaking, because of their disobedience to the commands of Christ. They were in need of the process of like being born again, rededicating lives again until Christ be formed in them. My friend, Christ wants you to be like Him, wholly, wholly. Let me read this verse to you real quick. You don't have to turn there. Just look up to the screen. Look at 1 Thessalonians 5:23 with me on the screen. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. We're going to get there in the notes. But look what he says here. He says, "And the very God of peace sanctify you, wholly." What is that? Your whole spirit, your soul, and your body. Be preserved blameless unto the coming of Jesus Christ. So, what does Jesus want to get a hold of? He wants to get of you wholly. He wants to get a hold of your spirit again. He wants to get a hold of your soul again. He wants to get a hold of your body again. Because he saved you when you called upon him to save you. But you haven't yet let him deliver you wholly from other things. Are you following with me now? We can be saved, but certain parts of our lives have not been reached by Christ yet, in other words. For example, he saved your soul, but did he save your eyes? Did he save your ears? Did he save your hands? You know, from watching things you shouldn't, from things you're laboring for that have nothing to do with him, from time you're spending, if you will, that has nothing to do with him. Did you let Christ get a hold of you? Wholly. Anybody here? This road of sanctification, my friend, is for their lives, but it requires labor. Verse 20, Paul, let's go back to our base text, Galatians 4, verse 20. I know you guys are there. Give me a second. He says here, I desire to be present with you now and to change my voice, for I stand in doubt of you. So guys, check this out. If Paul, the apostle, was questioning the spiritual growth in Christians back in the day, it is safe for you and I to question the spiritual walk of brethren when you don't see Christ through them. Isn't that deep? So for example, you're surrounded by Christian A, spiritual, faithful, at church, soul winning, giving, doing that. And then you might be surrounded by Christian B. They come to church, but they don't soul win. They don't give. They're not really zealously affected in a good thing. They're just outwardly not serving him. It's okay then for somebody to say, hey, brother, I'm standing in doubt. Sister, what's going on? I'm just kind of questioning your love for him. That's all. I didn't say you don't know him. I'm not saying you don't understand the intellectual doctrine of grace by faith. No, I'm just saying I'm just standing in doubt of your love for Jesus. Because you say you believe in him, you profess in him, but man, we haven't seen you serve with us in 5 years. Haven't seen you soul win in one time, and it's been a minute. You understand? So guys, if Paul's standing in doubt of these believers, man, don't be surprised when Brother Carlos or Sister Kate or somebody might say, man, I know you say you're saved, brother. You say you're saved, sister, but man, we haven't seen you served one day for Jesus. We haven't seen you doing much outwardly, because that's all that we have to behold. Man has only to look at your conduct while God looks at your inward. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. All right, now we're getting to our notes. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. How many of you guys still love the Bible? Is it still good? Anybody? All right. 2 Corinthians 11, verse number 22. Let's go there now, my friend. Notice I keep calling my friend because I love y'all. Amen. So just because some of y'all might be a little silly at times, a little carnal at times, man, I still love you. Why? Because Jesus loves you, man. Jesus is in me. That's why I love the Bible. That's why I love the apostles Paul and Peter. You know what he still call them? My children. Man, I still love y'all, even though y'all are messing up, even though you guys are not being as faithful as I know y'all could be. Amen. Woo, God is good. Amen. All right, now look with me now. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 22. Kind of similar. Paul is addressing these influencers in these Christians' lives in Corinth, and at times they would be entertaining other voices other than Paul or Apollos. And so whoever that they were there, here's what Paul is going to remind them of: his credentials, his experience. In other words, hey guys, here's why you should keep listening to me versus that guy over there or that girl, because of what I've gone through. Now listen, verse 22. Are the Hebrews? So am I. Are the Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they the ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labors more abundant. You know why you should listen to me a little bit more, Paul is saying? Because I've worked more than that guy. I've served more than that guy. I've gone through a lot more than that guy. That one voice, that one guy you keep listening to online or YouTube or social media, I'm just giving you application today. You understand what I'm saying. For those people then, you know why you guys should just keep listening to me and follow my example? Because of what I've gone through. They haven't gone through that. Look what he says, in stripes above measure. I can't even begin to tell you, believers, of how many times my back was whipped for following Christ. In prisons more frequent. In deaths off. Man, he died. He almost died. A lot, okay? Of the Jews, 5 times, I received 40 stripes, save one. Anybody got a calculator? I know Eileen did it last time. Anybody? Can somebody do 39 times 5? Anybody on your calculator? Oh, she's there. She's back again. Amen. 39 times 5. What is that, sister? 195 times. Paul said, hey, guys, you guys don't want to listen to me? Look at my faithfulness to following Christ. I'm qualified. Look at this back. Look at my experience. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I've been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, so fellow Jews, in perils by the heathen, so the non-Jews, Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, and now look at this, in perils among false brethren. You know, people who said they're a Christian, but they're not. Look at 27. In weariness and painfulness and watchings often, in hunger and thirst and fastings often, in cold and nakedness. And look at y'all here today. Y'all are in a building with a heater, amen. Y'all are in a building with AC. Y'all got cotton pews sitting on. Y'all got cotton chairs sitting on. Y'all got good clothes. Y'all got a car with AC and heating in that car. Paul, man, I've been cold, guys. I've been real cold sometimes. I haven't had clothes to cover me sometimes. I've been robbed, guys. I've been beaten up by my fellow people, my Jews. Some of your Gentile forefathers, yeah, they beat me up too. But while you think to excuse yourself because of what you think is worthy to not come to church Sundays and not come to church Wednesdays and not serve Christ and soul winning with your church, before you begin to entertain everything of why you shouldn't, here's what Paul smacks us all up on side of the head, amen, including Brother Carlos with. Look at here, verse 28. And beside those things that are without, so everything that he was going through on the outside, what does he say, friend? That which cometh upon me daily, and what is it? The care of what? All the churches. Wow. Powerful. Man, I am a wuss, guys. Brother Carlos, can I make a confession? I'm weak. I'm nothing like Paul. I'm nothing like Paul. Here I am thinking I'm something because I got a little vest, a little tie. I got a car that works. I got AC and heat in that car. I got Skechers shoes, amen, that I got hooked up. I got pants. I got legs. I got vitamins. I got protein. I got health in my body. And yet I want to call it quits because the guy hurts my feelings. I want to call it quits because somebody left our church that I really cared about. Guys, Paul, you know what he just told me? Hey, Brother Carlos, before you begin to think that you got something going on, Brother Carlos, just remember, I was beaten 100 and what times, sister? 139? 139 times. Hey, brother, before you entertain yourself about not going out soul winning, hey, just remember, when I was doing that, I was stoned. Hey, before, sister, you begin to entertain why you shouldn't come to church and read your Bible, discipleship, just remember, I didn't have clothes all the time. Matter of fact, I got robbed on my way to church. I got robbed on my way to serving Jesus in reaching souls. But that wasn't my main concern. Even though outwardly I was in pain, my flesh was in pain, inwardly, I just still cared about Christians. I just still had a love for you to reach you, to teach you how to live for Jesus Christ. That's Paul. Whew. Man. Friend, you know what the Bible says in Job 14:1? The Bible says that man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. Christian, let me just tell you something. Troubles are inevitable, and they are unavoidable. It's our natural disposition as human beings because sin entered into the world. Everybody is going to have troubles. It doesn't matter if you're saved or not, amen? Your car going to break down just like the unbeliever's car, amen? You're going to have an attitude at work just like the unbeliever's attitude is going to have at work. In other words, guys, you're going to have troubles all day long. It's not a matter of salvation or not salvation, saved or not saved. God said sinners have trouble because sin entered into the world because the first man chose to disobey me. That's just what the Bible says, guys. Romans 5. You might as well let Jesus save your soul and deliver you from those sinful habits and let his Holy Spirit comfort you during those troubles. Because without his comfort, that's when you're going to want to give up. That's when you're going to let the devil and your feelings deceive you into thinking that if I just do this for myself, I might just be happy and satisfied. But no, my friend, you won't. So when the apostles endured difficult times in life, like we just read, Paul here, persecution, hardships, they did not excuse themselves from the Lord's commands. Unlike many Christians today who won't go to church because someone hurt their feelings, or some leader or leaders didn't meet their needs and their expectations, your apostles would get stoned and go to church. Isn't that convicting? They would have rocks thrown at them. They would have a guy beat them up. They would have somebody come up on them on their little horse or chariot or walking, you know, to the local assembly. And that didn't stop them from going to church. Unlike many brethren today who don't want to come because it's raining. Or it's, you know, it's a too far of a drive. Anybody out there? Let me just give an application, church. You here today are sitting in cushioned pews with heat, with AC, with a building, with a car, with a job, with a government that will not persecute you from freely traveling to a church on a Sunday or proclaiming the gospel any of the days of the week. You and I have no excuse. We have no excuse on obeying our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, Christian, he's not just our Savior, but our Lord. What does that mean, Brother Carlos, that he is the Lord? He is the master. He is the boss. He is the commander. We obey. Lest we suppose to disobey, we consider the alternative. Well, those who love him will. Those who don't love him won't. Bottom line. Let's go back now. Let's turn our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. I don't know about you, my friend, but he is worthy. Amen. Jesus Christ is worthy. I might not be, but he is worthy. I might not be all the motivation. I might not be all the hype, but he is. And so the more that I can stay focused on him, brother and sister, the more that I will be faithful to endure difficult times and to follow after the example of my Savior, 1 Peter chapter 4, remember, and then the apostles, as we just read some of their things. Look with me now in Hebrews chapter 13. Read it with me now in verse number 17. Hebrews 13, verse number 17. You guys know my heart. It's not often that I will want to remind you spiritually of doctrinal truth concerning pastor and leadership, authority, etc. I'm not like your manager or you know, your supervisor at work. Hey, man, you didn't do this on time. I'm going to write you up. Anybody, we don't do that here, y'all. We don't do that. We're not calling you out just because you don't do what you need to do. But I will remind you this. When we do come to verses like this, I will remind you that when you don't follow your pastor's admonitions and examples, the only one who's not going to profit is you. Watch. Look at what it says in verse 16. But to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. By the way, me and Brother Giovanni, weeks ago we were talking about this. 1 Corinthians 16, great men, Fortunatus, Achaicus, and Stephanus. Paul said, y'all need to submit to those guys because of how they were living for Jesus. They were addicted to the ministry, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 16. So yes, God wants you to submit to another Christian who is stronger than you spiritually, and who is leading by example in a manner that is in accord with the gospel and obedience. God said, I want you to follow them, son, daughter. Now, listen. He says in verse 17, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls. I'm not watching for your money, brother. I'm not watching for everything else you're doing in life. I'm here to watch over your soul to keep you well overall as I instruct you, teach you, all that. Now, listen. As they that must give an account. So that's right. Brother Carlos is going to bow the knee before Jesus Christ, and I'm going to have to give an account of everything that I taught you, and I'm going to have to give an account for every wrong example that I gave to you and every good example. So I understand. I understand my role. Now listen, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. Now listen to the last part. For that is what? Unprofitable for you. So all ministers will give an account for how they minister to the people. But wheresoever the people refused the word taught and spoken, it'll be unprofitable for them, not the minister. So Sundays, Wednesdays, Fridays, Brother Carlos got the Bible on the screen, teaching, 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 exhorting, 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 doctrine, 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 text message here, phone call over there. But so long as you are excusing yourself from being zealously affected in a good thing, you're just making it unprofitable for yourself. It's not Brother Carlos, it's just you. You're holding yourself back from all the good that can profit out of your life. 1 Timothy chapter 4. We're almost done. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Look with me now in verse number 15. You know what God promised you, my friend? If you listen to your pastor's instruction and you follow after their example as they're in accord with the gospel, living and soul winning, and all that good stuff. Here's what God promised you, friend, in a nutshell. If you individually continue to be faithful to your Savior's command. He said here, meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them. So there you go again. Look, we've seen that word wholly a couple of times now. So remember what it said, wholly, spirit, soul, and what? Body. So everything about me, all of it, if I'm submitted and surrendered wholly, look at what it says. That thy profiting may appear to all. So what did Paul say about those believers in Galatians 4? I stand in doubt of you. He wouldn't have to say that if that brother was giving himself wholly to them. Because what did he say? It will be manifest before everybody. You know, there are certain Christians that I'm not doubting where they're at because I see that they're faithful. I see with my eyes that they are profiting with all because they are wholly giving themselves over to God in the ministry. Brother Coramir's Africa. That's awesome. He is literally wholly giving himself. He is out there. Awesome. Brother Lordson, you guys can see it very clearly. But what about you today, friend? I'm not going to say your name, but just imagine. What if it was you being looked at by another brother? Could they be saying, man, brother, no wonder. You're solid. You're surrendered. I see you evangelizing. I see you soul winning. Keep up the good work. Or, wait, who's that again? That person? I haven't seen him one time. Haven't seen him out there in a long time. No wonder why brethren stand in doubt. So there is a profit when you're submitted and surrendered, wholly, if you will, to those things. Look with me in a couple more places. Romans 6, Romans chapter 6, and then we're going to come back to 2 Timothy. Romans chapter 6 with me, verse number 13. Romans 6, verse number 13, the Bible says, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield your members unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. So remember my earlier statement about what I said about Jesus saving you? But has he saved your hands, your feet, your eyes? Has he delivered you wholly? Well, here's what that word instrument means. Here's what an instrument is. An instrument is a tool. That by which work is performed or anything is affected. As a knife, a hammer, a saw, maybe a box cutter. Brother Stephen, restocking that fruit, amen? That which is subservient to the execution of a plan or a purpose or to the production of any effect. A person who acts for another or is employed by another for a special purpose, an instrument. You know what God said today, friend? He wants you to use your members as his instrument. He wants you to use your eyes for him. He wants you to use your ears for him. He wants you to use your arms, your legs. And check this out. I know y'all aren't going to like this, but I'm just going to tell you. He wants you to use your inanimate members. He wants you to use your substance, your finances. What is another inanimate member? He wants you to use your time. He wants you to use your talents for him. Because when you do, then you will see how your going to be profitable, not only in your own spiritual walk with God, like you said in 1 Timothy 4, but others will be profited by you because Christ will use you for his work. One more, and we're almost done. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Let's go back now. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Hope you're following along with me, my friend. Look now, go down with me all the way. 2 Timothy chapter 2, my friend. Look at what that Bible says. We'll start in verse number 20. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 20. Bible says, but in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth. For those of you who were here with us last Friday at our discipleship class, remember we talked about how you build upon the foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, if you will, those things that don't necessarily burn in the fire easily. And then what were the other three, friend? Wood, hay, and stubble. So imagine that, kind of that picture. Paul's saying here, there's a great house, and there are vessels, like a cup or a plate, if you will. Some of those things are made out of gold and silver, but some are made out of wood and earth. Some to honor and some to dishonor. Let's see how he's going to use that for this picture. Look at verse 21. If a man therefore purge himself from these, just read it earlier in your own time about the sins, etc., that he's admonishing Timothy about, he shall be a vessel unto what? Honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Now, Paul didn't mention about the opposite or the indirect, if you will, of what happens if a Christian doesn't purge himself from those things. But what's the indirect truth? You're not going to be for honor. You're going to be for dishonor. In other words, you're in the house. But the type of vessel that you could be used for by Christ depends upon your obedience. Do you want to be a good vessel? Do you want to be a bad vessel? Do you want to be a vessel to which Christ will look down there to say, man, look at Eileen, look at my son, Stephen. They are wholly submitted to me. They're wholly dedicated to me. I can use them over here. I can use them over there. And then God forbid, remember Brother Moat, me, Brother Carlos, he looks to me, man, son, can't use you. Can't use you today. You're over here not wholly given to me. Your members are not wholly submitted to me. You're not ready for my work, son. And so then what do I do if I'm carnal or if I'm in that area? Man, I repent. That's what we taught in our Sunday school. I get myself right with my Lord's command. So that way the next time he ponders and he looks, man, look at my son. He got that thing right. I can use him now for this thing over here. Because now he's letting me use him for my purpose, for how I want his life and his members to be a vessel for me. Anybody here? Look with me just a little bit more. We're almost done. Look with me in verse number 21. He shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Another question, friend. You don't have to answer out loud. But are you sanctifying yourself for the master's use? What happens? What do you do, friend, with your dishes after you're done using them? Anybody? You wash them, y'all. What do you do when you're done using your clothes? I know a sister the other day, she went to go do some laundry, amen. You wash them. My friend, are you washing yourself daily? Are you maintaining your vessel? And are you making sure that it's clean? Are you making sure that it's just the way that Christ is pleased with it? That, my friend, is making yourself meet for the master's use. Are you setting apart your members? One more time, I'll just mention this. The hands, the feet, the eyes, the ears, and then the inanimate parts of your members, your time and your talents. Are you sanctifying him to say, Lord, you are more important than myself. You are more important than my pastor, even though I love him. But God, your commands are more important. So Lord, I'm going to do it anyways. I'm going to serve you anyways. Is he that worthy to you? And if so, and he finds you so, then you know what? He'll look down from heaven and say, you know what, Holy Spirit, my daughter, she's meat for my use today. So here's what I want you to do. Here's what I want you to use my son there, and so on and so forth. So now, my friend, remind ourselves about what we allow to affect us throughout our week, throughout our life. Remind ourselves of those who are trying to keep us zealously affected on good things, i.e. your pastor, Christian friends in your life that are trying to strengthen you, minister to you, to keep yourself doing good. Much like children who start out zealous for the truth, you know, love for parents as they grow up over time, something happens to their zeal as they grow older. They begin to question everything around them, much like newborn babes in Christ. Zealous for truth early on, but yet over time they can become hardened towards the truth. Well, here's the good news, and I'll leave you with this. Jesus Christ has not changed. The Bible, no matter how many times the modern publishers want to translate it, it ain't going to change. Amen? Anybody out there? The preacher hopefully doesn't change. The member can become influenced by someone else, and that's what changes. So the goal is to be continually and zealously affected on a good thing and encouraging each other on the one, so we can continue to serve him in a manner that is acceptable for his pleasure, not our own. So let's go back now to our base text, and I know I'm running over time a little bit. I know y'all are tired from that hour change, amen. I know y'all want to go to bed, amen. But watch this real quick. Let's go back here. Watch this. Verse 20, Galatians 4. I desire to be present with you now and to change my voice, for I stand in doubt of you. So if you want me now, I'm just going to leave you with this as your pastor and your love and as your friend. If you want me to change now, like, all right, man, you know, you're good, you're serving, then just start serving him more. And that way, Katie and I are not always trying to be that parent to you, you know? Come on, you should know by now, son. You should know by now, daughter. Let's do this. Let's serve him. If you don't want us to send a daddy, brother, then don't. Be obedient. Serve him. Let him manifest so that way you can be a prophet to everyone around you. Anybody here? All right, let's close. Father, I thank you for the word of God. Lord, truth, 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 scripture, scripture, scripture. Lord, we don't have to have a charismatic voice tone presenting truth. We don't have to necessarily be all saddened in our monotone voice, but God, I just want to present the scriptures to these people. I just want to feed the flock the word of God, because Lord Jesus, I am convinced that your word is sufficient. They don't need a fog machine. They don't need LED lights. They don't need a big LED projector in the background. They don't need the music. They don't need the lights. They just need the scriptures. But they do need the help of the Holy Spirit, like I do. Because like them, I find myself, Lord, drifting at times from my heart from you. I find myself, God, not being affected on a good thing because I allow into my life others or other things to distract me from you. And I'm sorry, Lord. Today, God, whoever that is in here, I pray that they heard the message today, and I pray that your Spirit ministered to them in a way that they needed to hear the message. So today, my God, I know you have some great work planned for Sister Eileen, Brother Stephen, Brother Giovanni, my wife, Sister Kina, Brother Gibby. I know you have great things that you purpose for us to be used for you in the work of ministry. But now they heard, and now they know how they need to respond to you personally to be ready for that good work. So God, thank you that you've given us the Holy Spirit, a Holy Bible, a church family, to help us to be motivated and to be taught and to be discipled on how to do it. Lord, keep us joyful serving you, and then protect our hearts and our minds when troubles come, whether from Christians or non-Christians, to not get us off course because of our feelings. Keep us with your love, my Lord, and your faith, my Lord, and your joy, my Lord, so we can keep on going, God. So Lord, thank you for these souls. They're precious to you. They mean a lot to me, God. Please help them to get home safely. And we thank you for it ahead of time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, church, I love you. I hope to see you guys soon. Just want to leave you guys some quick announcements before we come to a close. Today, the water baptism.